It feels to you, oh, no, it sounds terrible, but. So. I'm so blessed to be out here during that whole thing. I sent my wife a picture of the thermometer or whatever you call it in the car. It said 72, so I took a picture of it. She sent me one of those little emojis with their tongue out, you know. Well, I've enjoyed this week. I don't know. It's a privilege to get to take more time with one subject and just, you know, dissect it, so to speak. In Bible school, we had classes. I'm talking about Rhema. We had classes that went for how long? 18 sessions, I believe, at a time. And you get time to really understand the subject in that kind of atmosphere. So it's a joy to be able to do this. This morning, I want to sort of start in 2 Corinthians to look at the same thing, but we're going to go a bit of a different direction here. We'll just read, let's just read verse number 16. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 16. Let's pray before we get into the Word and believe God for utterance and revelation. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of feeding on your Word. We come today with an open heart. We lay aside all the distractions that we came in thinking about. We just lay aside the things of this natural world, and we get into your Word with hunger and with an open heart, an open mind. We trust you today to unveil the Word unto our spirits, and may there be truth deposits. May it not just be from a man's mind to the minds of those here, but from the Spirit into their spirits. And we'll give you the praise for it, Father. And we thank you for truth impartations and deposits that lodge in a way that they lay there for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for all of us as we're doers of your Word. We thank you. We're blessed as we do it and walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's start here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse number 16. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more." We've been talking about in the Spirit in these sessions, and we've given a number of definitions about what that means. And we've given, you know, I guess we'll go through a couple of them here real quickly. Basically, it means to do something out of your spirit, out of the leading of the Holy Spirit. It means to to be more conscious of spiritual things than natural things. And also to do things under the anointing of the Spirit. And when we talk about in the Spirit, that term sometimes, if you look at the way it's used, it'll mean in the spirit realm. When John on the Isle of Patmos was caught up and that door opened and the voice said, "Come up hither," immediately he was in the spirit. That means in the spirit realm. He was more conscious of that than he was the natural at the time. So those have been some of the definitions we've gone through. And there are that realm, the realm of the spirit, has knowledge. There is a reality in that realm and a knowledge from that realm that we are to renew our minds to. And what I want to spend time today looking at is who you are in that realm. The reality, remember we said one of the definitions of in the spirit means to be conscious of the realities that are there, or conscious of those things in the spirit realm. In God's realm, than natural realm. In the spirit realm, you're someone, God, let's put it this way, in the spirit realm, you have an identity. It's different than your former identity. Before you were in Christ, you were a nobody. Now, I'm talking about in the spirit realm. Now, you might say, but think about whenever those demons jumped on those seven sons of Sceva. You ever remember that story in the book of Acts? and because they were trying to cast them out. These seven sons of Sceva weren't saved. And the demons that they were trying to cast out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. You know, whenever you're borrowing the name that somebody else uses, that means you don't know him yourself. And you don't have a revelation of who Jesus is. You're just borrowing the name, you know. I'll tell you this, hand-me-down revelation doesn't make you a voice in the spirit realm. It makes you an echo. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have revelation of who he was. But they just borrowed the name from Paul. Paul used the name of Jesus and demons came out. They thought, we'll try that. And it was not revelation to them. It was hand-me-down revelation. And in the spirit realm, when you speak in the spirit realm and it's just borrowed phraseology from somebody else that preached the word, you're not a voice in the spirit realm. You're an echo. And what you're doing when you operate in hand-me-down revelation, it's not something that has become real to you. Brother Hagin said when we graduated from Rhema, he said, don't go out and say, Brother Hagin said, which we do all the time. I just did. But the point is, what he was saying was, don't just say it's true because I said it's true. You have to have a revelation of what I'm preaching from the word yourself. But that's true. We can't just be saying, well, somebody said, you know. So, well, if it's real to us, it's fine to do that. You understand? If it's a revelation to us. But just hand me down revelation that you don't know what it means that you're talking about. Just quoting somebody else, that's not going to do you any good. You can't walk where somebody else walks if you don't know what they know or have the revelation that they have. And so I grew up, I had two older brothers, an older sister and a younger sister. And I was the next to the youngest. And my two older brothers, we grew up on the farm. And my two older brothers, of course, they would grow out of their jeans and my mom would put them in the attic until I was big enough. And so I got jeans that had patches on the knees, you know, and stuff like that. I hated hand-me-down clothes. I just hated it. Well, I hate hand-me-down revelation just as much. I want to know it for myself. So, but anyway, the thing that we want to talk about today is that in the spirit realm, you are a new person than you used to be. You used to be a nobody. Now, I started telling that story. Those demons jumped on the man, the seven sons of Sceva, you remember. I forgot, I didn't finish that. The Bible said, Jesus I know, that the demons said back to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, because Paul was the one casting him out in Jesus' name. So they said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That's the devil, who they are children of the devil. They're not born again. The children of the devil are nobodies in the spirit realm to the devil. Who are you? You're a nobody to me. Amen. But former nobodies in the spirit are now somebodies. When you got born again, you're somebody. I mean, not in yourself, you understand, but in Christ. You are somebody. You know, whenever somebody is in the hospital and they call for help and you walk in, somebody just walked in. Somebody just walked in. And so now we all understand that it's in Christ, not in ourselves. So, but here in this verse, it says, in this, we read 2 Corinthians here, 5, verse 16, know no man after the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. He's talking about us in the family of God. Know no man after the flesh. No man means no man. Now we're revelating now, but that means no man. That's supposed to be funny. Revelation. No man means no man. They'll wake up here soon, Dean. No man includes yourself. Don't know yourself after the flesh. Know yourself. In other words, what we are called to do in the body of Christ is renew our mind to who we are in Christ. Who we are in the Spirit. Because it was really the spirit man that was recreated, not our bodies, not our minds. You know, we've got to do something with our bodies and our minds after we're born again. But God man made the spirit man a new man. You go down there in verse number, we're here in the fifth chapter, verse number 17. We just read verse 16. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, including a new identity. And you have a new position in the spirit realm. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. You have new possessions. You now have all things, the Bible says. And so you need to carry around an inner identity card, an inner consciousness within your spirit and your mind through the Word of God about who you really are in the spirit realm. The devil works on you and me to keep us conscious of the flesh and what we don't have, what we can't do, what all our failures, all our natural limitations, and to keep us aware of that. He works overtime because he knows if we live and walk in the consciousness of who we are in the Spirit, who we are in God, then really we're a force to be reckoned with. Because we now have come out of the natural mind and into the revelation of who we are in Christ. And the plan of God is that we renew our mind to these things. Amen. Now, we're to be renewed according to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. If you want to look there, I'll quickly go there. We're going to look at some scriptures today again like we have, but you have to stay up with me. We might move a little quickly in some spots. It tells us in Ephesians 4, put off, let's go to verse number 22. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he's talking about put off the old way of living and put on the new way of living according to the knowledge of him, according to the knowledge of God. He says in the middle of that, the way to do it is by, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the renewing of the mind is the way you come out of the way you used to live. You renew your mind to the knowledge of who you are in Christ, and that'll bring you over into living a different way. Now, I don't know if you've ever spent much time thinking about it, but Colossians and Ephesians are sister books. They go through a very similar process of truth, laying out truth. And so I want to look at Paul's wording in Colossians whenever he got to this point in Colossians. We're going to read here in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3, verse 10. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man is the new creation. Now he says to put the new man, the new creation is in our spirit, but he said put that on the outward man. Put that on the outward man. And he said that new man, according to Colossians there, you see it, look at it again, is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man, the new creation, has a new knowledge. He's not only a new man, he has a new knowledge. He knows when you read that Bible, I don't mean that derogatory, I mean when you read your Bible And you read in there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Your inner man knows that. He knows that because the Holy Spirit lives in him and gives him that knowledge. When you hear the word taught, you know it's right in your spirit. Now, your head might be going, I don't get it. Huh? What? But your spirit knows it. And because the knowledge of this book, the Bible, that knowledge is in your spirit. You can feed on the Word of God and your spirit will bear witness with it. That's right. That's right. So that new knowledge has to come up to the mind and renew the mind. Because it's when the mind is renewed to something that you can really walk in it. And that's what God wants us to do, is have a new knowledge from the Spirit of God in our spirits that shows us who we are in Christ. Now, he said, no man after the flesh. Philippians says that Paul, and I'll just, you don't have to turn there, I'll just give you these references in the book of Philippians chapter number 3. Paul goes through that. You could start around verse 4 and go on down through verse 9, somewhere in there. Paul gave his pedigree in the flesh, and it talks about him being, somebody. I mean, as far as Israel, he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, so forth and so on. And he gave his pedigree. He was, in his culture, in his society, in the Jewish religion and all of that, he was somebody. He was a humdinger. I got to tell a joke. Some of you aren't awake yet. Well, it's not a joke. It actually happened. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Pastor Nancy might have shared this. She said, this actually happened, actually. This is the funniest part about it, is it actually happened. There's a minister that is pretty well known nowadays. Whenever he was a kid, there was a traveling evangelist came through, and was it to him the prophecy came, or somebody else? Somebody else in the church that really thought he was hot stuff. I guess he was a kid, young guy. And the evangelist came through and prophesied to him and said, thus saith the Lord, thou thinkest that thou art a humdinger? But thus saith the Lord, thou art not a humdinger, thou art only a dinger. That's a country prophet right there. Anyway, how'd we get off on that? Paul was a humdinger. According to his pedigree in Philippians 3, he was it as far as the Jews and their culture and all that. He was it. He had everything going for him. But he said there in that passage, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Because I counted all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Be found in him. Paul was somebody in the flesh in his culture, his religion and everything. But whenever he got a revelation of Jesus and who Jesus was and who he became in Christ, he said, I count all my earthly pedigree as dung. Yet, and he was somebody in the flesh. But he said, it's worth nothing to me compared to who I am in the Spirit, compared to who I was made in Christ. Praise God. So he was willing to throw everything away, and he did. He lost it all. He lost, you know, in his circles, he was somebody. But when he started identifying as in Christ and being born again and so forth and so on, they wrote him off. All his friends, everybody that thought he was somebody, they wrote him off. He's nobody now. But in the eyes of God, he was somebody. And that was more, that new identity, who he was in God, who he was in the Spirit, was more important to him than anything in the flesh. And do you realize if he had not identified with who he was in Christ, he wouldn't have done what he did. And he would not have the name recognition he has today. because he would have remained a nobody instead of becoming somebody. Amen. And so you might say, isn't that wonderful that Paul he became somebody? Well, you're somebody too. Isn't that right? He just wanted to be known. He said there in verse number 9, that I might be found in him. He just wanted to be known as a man in Christ. And that's enough. Amen. He liked that new man so much better that he just wanted to be known as a man in Christ. He knew the old Paul, and the old Paul was a mess. He said, I like this new man so much better. Well, when you read the epistles, because Paul got the revelation of who we are in Christ, where what our position is, what our possessions are, what our privileges are. We're now seated with Jesus. We're identified with Christ. In fact, if you read Paul's epistles, we're buried with him. We're crucified with him. We're buried with him. We're raised with him. We're seated with Jesus. We're seated with Christ. So all of those things are written in Paul's epistles. He got that revelation when he was caught up to the third heaven. We referred to that a couple of days ago. That revelation became the core of Paul's message. And he wrote it in the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and all these epistles. You know, I believe he wrote Hebrews and all the, you know, all these other epistles. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans. And that revelation is in those words. What the epistles of the New Testament are is they are a group photo of the body of Christ. They are a image of who we are in Christ. Your picture's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in there. You can read, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's a picture of you. That's you. That's who you are. You might have memory of some things you did before Christ, but God says, I don't see you that way. I see this way. I identify you in the Spirit as a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Paul had killed some people. And he said, I forget those things that are behind. In other words, he let all that go. How many of you know sometimes you got to forgive yourself? God will forgive you much quicker than you'll forgive yourself sometimes. So we see that. So in the epistles, it's really a group picture, a picture of the people, anybody that comes into Christ, and it's a picture of all those in redemption. Now, I don't know if you've ever like gone home for wherever you grew up, gone home for Christmas or something like that, and all the family comes together and they say, let's get a picture. You know, we get a picture. Whenever you get that picture sent to you over the internet, to your iPad, and you open it up, who's the first person you look for? You vain person, you. I do the same thing. You know, how did I look? Well, that's what you need to do when you look at the group picture in the Bible. Look for yourself first. Look for yourself. That's the first person you need to look and see. Yeah, and see yourself as in Christ. I'm in that picture. Look, I'm there. That's me. And identify yourself the way God identifies you. Now, let's get some help doing that. Come over to James here. The epistle of James. You know, sometimes you meet old friends from high school or something, and they just know you after the flesh. They don't know that you got born again. And they'll start bringing up things that you used to do and all that. And you just have to tell them, yeah, that's not me anymore. That's not who I am anymore. Remember Brother Hagin did that? Brother Hagin said he had two talents whenever he, just in the natural, whenever he's born. He had two talents. He said one was taming wild animals. He said the second one was picking locks. He said he could open any lock. And they did. They opened locks. They went into places they shouldn't have gone in. And he said after he got born again, he's out. Of course, he's raised off the deathbed, you know, and so forth. And so he's getting up again. He's going downtown. Some of his old friends hadn't seen him for a while. And he's down there and they see him. Hey, you know, you remember whenever we did this? And he goes, no, I didn't do that. Oh, yes, you did. You were there. No, he said, I didn't do that. No. Oh, then they fussed with him for a while. Finally, he said, no, that man died. I'm a new man in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a revelation. I mean, that he had that revelation at that age. How about we get that revelation? That man died. You could literally say, if somebody says, you remember whenever you did that, you could literally say, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. The old man that died did that. I am a new man in Christ. Praise God. I'll tell you, some of us need to forget. Amen. Need to renew our minds, our new identity. But James 1 here, how do you do that? How do you get to that place where you see yourself as the new man that you are? In James 1, it tells us in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or we'd say a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, so he uses the illustration, when we look into the Word, he uses the illustration of looking into a mirror. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 3, whichever one it was, 1 or 2 Corinthians, it talks about in verse 18, it says there that we beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The mirror is the word there. When you look into the mirror, how many of you looked at, well, I better, yeah, everybody looks pretty good this morning. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? When you looked in the mirror, did you see me? No. Who'd you see?
Me.
You saw yourself. Or actually, you saw an image of yourself. So, the thing he's saying here is, when we look into the word, that's what we see. We see who we are. We see God's image of who we are. Now, it'll mess with your own self-image. But that's what God's trying to do, is mess with who you see yourself as and get you to see yourself as who you are in Christ. Because the word of God, Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. We said this the other day. The word truth means reality. The Word of God is reality. If it says you're a new creation, if it says you're free, if it says that the old things have passed away, if it says no more bondage, if it says ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus, if it says more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, then all these things that it says, if it says that, that's reality. That's reality. Well, that's just not very real to me. It's not very real to me. How do I become conscious of it? Have we heard that word this week? To become more conscious of God and His realities, His Word, than our natural, awareness. Well, this verse tells us, verse 23, if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now notice, I want you to circle two things in this verse. It says, if any be a hearer, circle hearer, and then and not a doer, he's like a man beholding, circle beholding. So he said, when you hear the word, it's like looking into a mirror. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you see in the natural? With your eyes. Notice how he said you see in the spirit. With your ears. Let me look at it again. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding and forgetting. Well, the opposite is if he hears and does it, he's still looking, but he stays in the light of it. But here he said, in order to behold things, spiritual realities, you do that with your ears. Amen. Amen. Now, think about it. Whenever we speak in pictures. I could start describing the vehicle I drive back at home, and I could start describing the color. It's a Ford F-150 pickup truck. It's a King Ranch. It's a white colored, kind of a creamy white colored. It's got the two-tone tan on the bottom, and I can start describing it. And the more I describe it, the more you see it. And if I drove in here, you'd be able to say from me, just turn off the road out there. That's Pastor Jay right there. Because you've already got an image on the inside of what my pickup truck looks like. Amen. When I say the word airplane, you don't see a furry animal called a cat. I know it's simple, but my point is we speak in pictures. Early languages written on cave walls were written in pictures. That's how we talk today. Amen. If I can describe somebody or something in enough detail, you can already get an image of it on the inside. Well, that's what God did in His Word. He describes you in enough detail that you can already see yourself and who He sees you to be, and His image of you is reality. That's reality. That's reality. And He said in 1 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, we beholding. As in a mirror. 2 Corinthians. We beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, changed into the same image. That's how we're changed. It's by beholding and renewing our mind and becoming aware, developing a spiritual awareness or a spiritual consciousness on the inside of us of how God sees us. It might not be reality to us, but the more we look into it, the more real it becomes. The more conscious of it we are. And what the goal is to get it so burnt on the inside of our inner man and our consciousness of who we are that when we walk away, we still see it that way. He said, here there's a phenomenon that can happen where we see it in the Word, but we walk away and forget it here in James. And he said, just keep on beholding. Notice, let's look at how he says that. He said, if any man be a hearer, not a doer, it's because he looked in the mirror. Verse 23, beholding his natural face in a mirror. It's like looking in the mirror and going away and beholding himself and forgetting what manner of man he was. But he said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues therein. In other words, keeps looking. Keeps looking. The devil will come and he'll try to distort your image and say, no, that's not true. But he said, keep on looking. Keep on looking. Keep on looking. Keeps looking and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. You'll never become who God said you are without continuing to look into it and saying it. Now that's Romans 4, when God said to Abraham, Pastor Nancy preached this, God said to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. But Abraham believed and called himself the father of many nations that he might become. Amen. So whenever we look into the Word, God tells us who He made us to be. But by looking and calling, we become who God said we are. Amen. In other words, it becomes our experience. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see with our ears. That makes more sense to you now, doesn't it? But what happens so many times is either the devil or religious teaching helps the devil, actually. People are looking into a mirror that gives them a distorted image of who they are. In the Midwest, I grew up on the East Coast. We had it there, too, because it's really not a Midwest thing. It's a country thing. But I guess every county has county fairs at one time or another during the year. But, you know, anybody know what a county fair is? Do they have those out here? So I grew up at those, going to those as a kid, and they're big out in the Midwest. I mean, if you want to eat the best pork chop on a stick you ever had, come to the Iowa County Fair. You slap your mama to get another one. Sorry, mama, get me out of the way. That's good stuff. But anyway, at the county fair, they've got sometimes, I saw this growing up, and I've seen it in Iowa also. They've got these different games. You know, one of them, you can hit the, I forget what that's called, and it sends the thing up, see if you can hit the bell, all that stuff. That's all county fair stuff. Well, one of the things that you can do at the county fair is you can go into, you can pay a little money and go into this booth, and it's got mirrors in there, and the mirrors are distorted. And so you go walk in front of one of them, and you're 3 foot tall and 4 feet wide. Yeah, well, I don't want that one. So you come over here, and you look totally different. I mean, you're a different shape and all kinds of stuff. Isn't that right? Well, that's what religion will do for you. It'll give you a wrong image of who you really are. Religious teachings tells us, you know, we're old sinners saved by grace, stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? Or we're just so sorry, we're just so broke, you know, or you got to take a vow of poverty or whatever religion says. I forgot almost because I haven't been around it for so long. I don't care about religion. You know, when I say religion, I'm talking about man-made ideas. That's what I'm talking about. But they put these mirrors. That, I mean, people go to church and get these distorted mirrors set in front of them, and they go out of church thinking wrong about who God sees them as. Some churches preach to the people every service as if they're sinners. You know, different things in different churches. Well, we need to go to a place where a true image of who we really are is set out. We are blessed. We are rich. We are healed. We are free. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. We're raised with Him. We're seated with Him. We're authorized. We can cast out devils, heal the sick, full of the Holy Ghost, and on and on and on and on and on. And that, when you get that knowledge burnt on the inside of you, it's only then that you'll become, in the experience of this life, walk in the walk that God's called you to walk down here. You'll become what God really intended for you to do down here. Amen. Hallelujah. So, are you learning a little bit of how God changes you into who He sees you to be? In the spirit means you're more conscious of spiritual realities than fleshly realities. Amen. Set your affections, Colossians says in Colossians 3:1. Set your affections on things above. That includes who He sees you to be in that seat far above. Hallelujah. It's a little like, the Word of God is a little like, I think it's called, if I remember right, I was thinking about this in the hotel. It's a little like, is it a hologram where they print out a piece of paper? You can get these things on the internet. They print out a piece of paper and all it is just a bunch of dots. Is that what that's called, a hologram? And you look at it and they tell you to just sort of look into it and all of a sudden, you know, an image pops out of the dots. Have you ever, anybody ever seen something? Is that called a hologram? What's that called? Huh? So what it is it's there is a, I've seen them where an image of Jesus or what they think Jesus looks like, you know, I doubt it, but anyway, when you first look at it, just a bunch of dots, but you kind of look, they tell you to sort of look into it, and then all of a sudden, Jesus' face pops out. That's the way this word is. You can first look at it, and you're going, "What? Who is he talking about?" But you keep looking at it, and you're like, wait a minute, that's me. That's me. That's me. You see an image. You just got to keep looking until you see it. Amen. Jesus found himself in the Word. He did. The Bible talks about, he stood up in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He found, that's Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah. He found himself in the Word. John the Baptist found himself in the Word. They said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That's a verse from the Old Testament. He found himself in the Word. Hallelujah. You'll find yourself in the... You're in there too. You're in there. That's you. The epistles. I'm talking mostly about the epistles. You're in there. Keep looking. Keep looking until it changes your self-image. People have identity problems, self-image crises and all of that. This is the solution for all of it. To see who you really... I don't know who I really am. Well, God does. You know, any manufacturer of any product, let's take the iPads we all carry around. You know, when Apple first came out with iPads, they had an unveiling ceremony. They were the manufacturers. They were the programmers. They did it. They designed it all and everything. Well, I think they stole some things from some other people. But anyway, you know, they won't tell you that. But they're the ones that put it all into one package. And so they had a ceremony, invited everybody, and there's a little podium up there with a black cloth on it. And they talked a little bit about what they were going to introduce, and then they pulled that black cloth off of it, and everybody saw the iPad for the first time, or the iPhone, or whatever, you know. And so that happens. The military does that when they come out with a new aircraft or new technology that's coming out of, you know, it's no more classified or something like that. They have an unveiling ceremony. They'll have it in a hangar, and then they'll introduce it, dun, 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 and the garage door will go up, and there sits this new kind of plane that looks funny. Nobody ever saw one, you know. It's an unveiling ceremony. Well, do you know what church is? It's an unveiling ceremony. Amen. That's what church is supposed to be. It's an unveil. Unveiling of Christ, an unveiling of God, and all that He's doing today. We understand that. But it also unveils who you really are. Who you really are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So people say, I don't know who I am. God said, I'll tell you what to do. There's a church going on down there. They have services on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And they're having an unveiling ceremony. They're unveiling who you are in Christ. You go there and I'll tell you who you really are. As they hear, as a person sits and hears, they start realizing, wait a minute. I'm not depressed. I got the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And I got the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it rules in my heart and mind. And they start finding out what they have, who they are, what they can do. And all of a sudden they start, and it's an unveiling ceremony. And it changes them to live like God really intended them to live. Oh, I went ahead and did it. I started preaching myself happy already. Praise God. Praise God, but you got to keep looking at it. This is where the real spiritual battles are won or lost in your life. If this is not a big issue, why does the devil work so hard to keep you thinking wrong about yourself? You know, and he tries to keep you living in condemnation, tries to tell you about your past and bring up old things and say that's who you are. See, you're just bound in that area. Why does he work so hard on that if this is not a big deal? This is where the real battle is. Amen. The battle is not between sickness and healing, or poverty and full supply. It's between or bondage and freedom. It's between truth and lies. That's where the real battle really is. What is going to dominate you? Is the truth of God's word going to dominate you? Because that's reality. Or are the lies of your own distorted self-image, because you know yourself after the flesh, going to dominate you? That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. That's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. Nobody ever stayed bound in their own sense knowledge and became a giant in the body of Christ. They only became a giant and became a force to be reckoned with because they found out who they were in Christ. Hallelujah. So the devil fights this, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're more powerful than anything that tries to hold you in your wrong thinking and your distorted image of yourself. We'll get into that, I think, as we go. Matthew 6 says, Jesus made the statement, he said, take no thought saying. He said that in a couple of places in Matthew 6. Take no thought saying. What are we going to eat, you remember? What are we going to wear, so forth and so on. All of those things, what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, they are thoughts that come to us from the natural realm. You know, you look at the natural realm, you can say, where are we going to get our food? Or what are we going to wear? Or something like that. And so he's talking about taking thoughts from the natural realm. You got to guard what thoughts you take from the natural realm. Why? Because it can lie to you. I don't mean if you're driving a car to school that you see a Mack truck pulling out in front of you that you say, no, I don't walk by sight. We have enough sense to know what we're talking about here, right? Amen. Amen. We're going to have your funeral saying he didn't follow his eyes, you know. We're talking about whenever what you see lies to you against God's words, what we're talking about. And the natural realm will do that. Satan speaks to us through the natural realm. He contacts us through the natural realm. If you don't believe it, you ever looked at your checkbook and the devil said, well, you ain't going to have the money this month. Yep, he talks to you. He uses the natural realm to try to contact you and talk to you. He also tries to tell you who you are by the natural. Jesus said, don't take thought from these things that lie in the natural realm against God's word. Like, for example, don't take thought saying, what are we going to eat and so forth. In other words, don't let the natural realm tell you whether you have a supply from God or not. Isn't that right? The natural man is offering you thoughts. The devil is offering you thoughts. Don't take thoughts from anybody but God. Amen. Every mind needs a bouncer at the doors. When a thought comes to your mind, you need to, just like a bouncer bounces at people from the party that they weren't invited, your mind needs a bouncer by the doors. And before you accept a thought, you need to say, ID, please. What do you mean, ID? Scripture and verse, please. Is this reality? Is this thought reality? Oh, this will change your life. See, this is really a big deal when it comes to walking in the Spirit, like we've been preaching all week. You have to guard your thought life because it'll lie to you and get you back in the flesh. If you accept the lie, it'll take you back in the flesh. And so you've got to accept the realities of God, and whenever thoughts come to your mind that are against God's word, you need to bounce them. Yes. Bounce them. Yes. You're not welcome here. Yes. Amen. Yes. I mean, it's like your mind has you ever been to a construction site and they put up that tape or that, well, sometimes orange fence around the construction site, just a cautionary thing. I guess it's orange out here in our state. It's orange. And really, they're saying, you know, don't, it'll have no trespassing signs on it. And they're saying, don't come in here, you know, dangerous. There's heavy equipment working, things are falling, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so, but that's what your mind needs to have around it. Amen. The Bible says to bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of God, the truth of God's word. Bring it into captivity. That means, one translation says, bring it under arrest. So when a thought that is against God's word tries to cross into your mind needs to have that orange fence around it and say, no trespassing. Yes. You try and you bring it under arrest. You say, you're under arrest. You're trying to trespass on a mind that is under renovation from the word of God. Yes. You don't belong here, and I reject you, and I replace you with the true knowledge of God, and I say with my mouth, you're a lie. It is written, thus saith the Lord, I will not allow you to come into my mind, you know, because you don't belong here. This mind's under renovation. Hallelujah. I'm learning to think right. Oh, now we just got started, and we got to take a break already. So thank God for the truth. Amen. So don't take thoughts from the natural that disagree with God's word. Don't take thoughts from the enemy. He uses the natural to talk, but take thoughts from God only. Praise God. Now, we're to have, and we'll give you a break with this, we're to have revelation identity, not situation identity. It's not your situation that determines who you are. It's what Jesus did for you that determines who you are. Well, my situation says I'm broke. See, you just got in the flesh. I know we don't think of that as in the flesh, but that's in the flesh. You now took an identity that didn't come from the spirit realm, as far as God's realm, but you took an identity from your situation. Amen. So we should have revelation identity, not situation identity. And really shouldn't even have perspiration identity. Amen. In other words, this is who I am because I work hard. No, you're rich because you were born that way when you were born again. Amen. So, not situation identity, not perspiration identity, not even my family history identity, nothing. No other identity but who we are in Christ. Can you see how this will unite the body of Christ? People get in little groups in the body of Christ, but never really, God just sees us in Christ. Praise God. Well, let's take a break. I think this is a good place to break. And we'll come back and have one long session, I suppose, if I'm understanding correctly. Is that right?